All right, everybody, welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. My name is Glenn West, your senior writer here at the site. We're officially recording this on a Monday, but by the time most of you guys will be seeing this, it'll be Tuesday, which means that LSU spring practice is already underway, and we'll get a first chance opportunity there to get a look at the Tigers on Tuesday morning. We'll have an opportunity to talk with Lane Kiffin shortly afterwards, but and I think kind of the schedule here, from what we understand, is going to be kind of every Tuesday we'll get a chance to catch up with Coach Kiffin, kind of just to recap the previous week of practice and just get an update on the team and players and all that stuff. So we'll probably also have some updates from the coordinators, Charlie Weiss Jr. and Blake Baker, throughout the course of the spring. Hopefully we get a chance to talk to some players as well. So we'll have all those updates for you guys here as we move through spring ball. But just wanted to hop on today. Last week we discussed a little bit about the LSU offense and kind of some of my thoughts going into the spring at each position that we wanted to learn, wanted to see, wanted to get a chance to get a good look at over the course of the next month. And then we just wanted to hit the defensive side of the ball today, spend about 20-25 minutes going over all those positions and just giving our thoughts on what we want to see. And so, before we get into all that, would just like to ask you guys, if you're watching on YouTube, please leave us a like and a subscription. Please comment on the video if you like it, or what you don't like, whatever. Of course, if you're listening on Spotify and Apple, please give us a like and a subscription over there as well. So with all that being said, very excited to get out there tomorrow, of course, and get a chance to watch LSU play, and a chance to watch some of these individual drills and whatever we're allowed to watch. But I think specifically on the defensive side of the ball, one of the big things here is that there's continuity returning with the staff. When you make such big widespread changes across the program, from one year to the next, you probably expect a mass exodus on the staff. And that didn't happen on the defensive side of the ball. The LSU retained Blake Baker as their defensive coordinator. They retained their position player coaches, from Corey Raymond to Kevin Peoples to Jake Olson. They brought in Chris Kiffin to be kind of assist Baker with the linebackers there. They've also added Sterling Lucas to come in and be the defensive line coach. So you brought in a couple new faces, but you've also, I think, kept the guys that you were hoping to keep with this staff. And that obviously not only gives you great continuity with the current players or the returning players that were on the 2025 roster, but of course in recruiting as well. And then, just building on what you built here the last couple of years. I think LSU's defense has certainly improved over the last 2 years under Blake Baker's leadership. And I think with the big offseason adjustments they wanted to make, the offseason changes they wanted to make with this defense this year, were adding starting caliber players. And I think that they feel like they've done that really from the front to the back. And we'll kind of dive into some of our thoughts here. And so, just leading off with the edge rushers, the edge rusher position, we wrote these spring breakdowns on all the positions here that you can go check out over at 24/7 Sports, at Go 24/7 Sports. And so with the edge, I think you have to start with Princewell Umanmielen, the star edge rusher that they got from Ole Miss. He was somebody that was a top five transfer portal player in this last class, obviously one of the last additions of this portal class that LSU was able to really get over the top and finish strong with in the trenches. He's a very unique player. He's really a fantastic pass rusher, a guy that can affect both the run and the pass game. Had about 9 sacks and 13 tackles for loss last year at Ole Miss, and what was his breakout season. Has obviously a full year of SEC experience under his belt now, has postseason success under his belt now, having played all the way to the college football semifinal game this past year for the Rebels. So this is a player that I don't think LSU has really had over the last 3 or 4 years in particular. I think you might have to go back to BJ Ojulari, and kind of maybe he was the last quote-unquote star pass rusher that they've had. in the program. You know, they've had some good pass rushers. They've had some guys that have been able to apply pressure, but maybe not the playmaking guy, kind of pass rushers that Umon Mielen comes in with the recognition for and the history of doing here over the last year. So he's a very important piece to this thing. I think he's somebody that can help unlock this defense even further from a pressure standpoint. I mean, what we know about Blake Baker and his defense is that they like to cause a lot of havoc up front. They like to throw lots of different looks at opposing offenses and backfields and offensive lines. And so I think he's somebody that you can, or I think Umon Mielen is somebody you can be very versatile with in this defense. And so, you know, he's also going to attract a lot of attention, right? I mean, he's a guy that comes in with a lot of, cachet under his belt from what he did last season. And I think opposing offenses and opposing coordinators are going to certainly draw up their game plans and their schemes with him as a forefront, at the forefront of kind of those plans and trying to find ways to slow him down. And so I think the best way that LSU can go about making sure that, not only he has success, but the entire group of pass rushers has success, is that there's some really good complementary pieces on the opposite side of him. And so they went out and they added Jordan Ross, who's a former five-star player from Tennessee. He's spent the last couple seasons there and, maybe doesn't have the stats or the numbers or anything yet that, maybe people were hoping coming out of high school for him, but still an ascending player, a guy that I think LSU feels can be very complimentary to what they want to do with the pass rush. And it'll be very interesting to see kind of what his development has looked like here as he enters year three of college. You also got Gabriel Relaford, who's, now a third-year player in the program. Somebody that showed flashes as a true freshman and really looked to be taking massive steps there, going from his freshman to his sophomore year in that offseason, had a really nice spring, came back and was really solid in the fall, I thought, as well, leading up to the season. And then, they get about a month into the year and they're rotating guys in and out. And, he's certainly a part of that rotation and has that shoulder injury that forces him to miss the rest of the year, required surgery. And so, he missed a lot of his second season there with that injury. And it was really unfortunate because I do think he was on track to have a really nice second year for LSU. But, he's back in the, I think from everything we understand is he's healthy and should be able to go through some stuff during the spring and, potentially get back to being that player that looked to be ascending at this time a year ago. So, I think you start with those two opposite of Umon Mielen. I think those are kind of the two guys in Ross and Relaford that are going to get the most opportunities here this spring to earn kind of those first team reps, those looks there. But there's also several other players that they're going to be rotating in and out. I think there's some exciting young pieces here. Whether you talk about Damian Shanklin, who's a second year player, didn't have a whole ton of experience last year, but rotated in every once in a while. He had a couple sacks, I believe in the fourth quarter of the win over Southeastern last year. I think Trenton Henderson is a guy, a freshman who LSU signed in this last class as part of that big defensive line haul that they had in the 2026 cycle. He's put on about 10 pounds, almost 10 pounds of muscle since he arrived on campus in January. And so I think LSU feels really comfortable with where he's at from a physical standpoint. I think he's up over 240 pounds now. So he's maybe somebody that could sneak his way into the rotation a little bit here. You've got some veteran players who have been around been around college football for a while now, and Dylan Carpenter, who's a returning player for you. Jaylen Brown's a guy who spent a couple of years throughout the SEC. He's been at South Carolina. I can't remember where he started his career, but I think he's coming from South Carolina. So doesn't have a whole ton of experience in terms of on-field reps, but has been in the college system for a while. I think probably the biggest X factor of this edge rusher group and kind of the outside pass rush is going to be Lamar Brown. He won't be here until the summer, which is why we kind of maybe skip over him a little bit in the spring. But he's somebody that absolutely, once he arrives in the summer, I think has a chance to change the entire conversation around this room. And so how he develops over the course of the summer and into the fall with preseason practice, I think is going to be very interesting to watch for him as well. So those are just a couple of thoughts on the edge rushers. I think there's talent there. I think there's a lot of intrigue with what they can do with those guys. And but again, I think it starts with Umar Mielen, and then Relaford and Ross are maybe the guys on the opposite side that you could see a lot of here in the spring with the first team. So we'll move over to defensive line now. That's a group that I think if you look at this defense right now, probably has the most time in terms of snaps and playing time up for grabs going into the spring. They have some really interesting players. They have some young freshmen that I think are going to really push the veterans and really push some of the more experienced players on this roster over the next several months. I do think that the LSU is going to be very open-minded. Sterling Lucas is the new position coach that they brought in there to run that group. And I think they're going to be, nothing's going to be pigeonholed here in for that group. I think there's going to be a lot of open competition there. You have Dominic McKinley, who's the former five-star, entering his third year now in the program, has been mainly a rotational piece, I guess, his first 2 years. He certainly played a lot this past season, but was, with the defensive tackles in particular, you've got to put them in a pretty hefty rotation because of how taxing that workload is on those guys in the middle there. You've got Brandon Brown, who's a second-year returner for the program. Sean Washington has been in the program now for a while. So he's another guy that, those are the three returners. But they've also brought in a couple of really experienced veterans, guys like Stephylan Green from Clemson, Malik Blockton from Auburn. Those are guys that have several years of experience under the belt. Green in particular at Clemson had a really nice game last year against LSU. I think he set his career high in tackles last year against the Tigers in that opener. But he's the guy that has, I believe, around 8.5-9 tackles for loss over the last couple seasons. Blockton still kind of also in that same range at Auburn. Maybe guys that aren't featured players on the defensive line room or defensive tackle room, but we're going to have an opportunity now here coming to LSU to really earn those roles and set the tone there for those those veterans in that room. So but again, it's going to be very interesting because I do think that there's going to be a lot of playing time up for grabs, and I do think that when you look at the freshmen that are coming in, I think this freshman defensive line group can absolutely be one of the biggest X factors on the entire defense. And that starts with Richard Anderson, the five-star defensive tackle who LSU signed back in December. Just a remarkable physical talent guy that I think, over the course of his career here, could certainly, be one of the most fondly remembered interior defensive linemen to come through this program in recent memory. If he, hits, kind of his development process here, that's already underway. He came in January at 360 pounds, according to the LSU player profile when he signed. He's already down below 340 over the last couple months. So he's, I think, right at that 339 number is the most recent update as we head here into spring. So he's dropped some weight. Apparently physically fit. And, when you're talking about 6'3", 339, those guys are physically going to be okay. I think the thing for him is just, picking up the system, learning the speed of the college game, all of that stuff, the technique, the nuances of being an interior D lineman and how to have success there are going to be really important for him. But physically, he's a guy that I could absolutely see moving bodies here in the spring and winning lots of one-on-one battles. He's just a really physical guy, somebody that, I think LSU has a lot of high hopes for and, could see him on the field sooner than later. I think there was an element of, when LSU was putting together this offseason here, they wanted to leave some snaps open for those guys and some opportunities open for those guys. And so I do think that Anderson's going to be a guy that you see rotating in and out. The other guy to watch there is Deuce Gerald, the defensive tackle that they brought in out of the Georgia area. They signed him, another top 60 overall player, a guy that LSU's really excited about and maybe a little bit of a different profile physically from Anderson. I think, you know, Juice is more in that, you know, 275, 280 range going into the spring here. He's also added some weight to his frame since arriving on campus in January, but, you know, probably a little bit more of a quick twitch kind of a guy. You know, I'm not going to compare him directly to Bernard Gooden, but it's like a Bernard Gooden type, you know, a guy that, you know, is physical and fast and strong and can really use his leverage to his advantage, I think, on the interior of the defensive line. So he's somebody that I think, you know, LSU has really high hopes for as well. So, you know, I think this defensive line room is the most open here as we go into spring. I think that there's a lot of guys you could see rotating in and out. And, you know, I think the big part of spring here is about technique. It's about development for that group. You know, there's enough of a returning core here to also kind of help some of the new pieces along in terms of picking up the system and what they want to see out of that unit. I think is going to be really important for LSU to establish this spring. So those are just a few thoughts on the defensive line. Move over to linebacker. I think there's a pretty established top, you know, 1-2 punch at the top here going into spring. Obviously starts with Whit Weeks, the you know, now a 4-year player, Whit Weeks, for LSU. Really battled through a lot of injuries there in 2025. I mean, it started in January with, you know, that dislocated ankle that he suffered, and took him a while to get back and really feel like himself. I think it really wasn't until the summer or early part of fall camp where he really started to, you know, feel like he was getting back to himself. And then to also suffer another ankle injury in the middle of that 2025 season there, it cost him about a month of the year. I know that was really hard on him as well. So it was just a really bad luck kind of deal last year for Weeks, who, you know, if he'd had a season like he did in his sophomore year, probably would have gone pro, probably would have been a, you know, day two pick here in the NFL draft. But, you know, he did battle some injuries, and, you know, I think there's some room for him to grow development wise as well on the field. But just an A-plus leader, an A-plus guy to have in the locker room, somebody that Lane Kiffin worked really hard to get back into the program when he first got here. So big deal there that you're getting Whit Weeks back to kind of anchor the middle of that defense. I think he has a chance here over the next offseason, if he can just stay healthy and continue to develop, to really be a nice piece there for LSU in the middle of the defense. And then, you know, Lane Kiffin also brought in a player he's very familiar with in TJ Dougherty at Ole Miss. You know, this is a 2-year starter at Ole Miss in the SEC. Obviously, you know, as we mentioned with a couple of the other guys that they brought in from Ole Miss, has that postseason experience now under his belt. He's played in, you know, 3 postseason games with the Rebels, and been through 2 full SEC slates as well. So he's very adept to performing in this league and performing at a high level. He's one of the leading tacklers in the SEC over the last couple of seasons. And so I think when you have that nucleus there at the top, the real challenge here this spring for LSU is going to be about who steps up next to those guys, who kind of maybe takes their game to the next level, because there are a lot of second and third year players on this linebacker group that have immense talent, but we just haven't seen a whole lot of yet on the field, at least. And so, you know, Devon Keyes is one that's, you know, played a lot. He's going to be kind of your third year. I think he could be probably your third linebacker that you'll see in the spring rotating in and out. But, you know, he's got a lot of tackles under his belt from last year, having to play because of Weeks' injury and getting more opportunity. And I think, you know, for the most part, taking advantage. You know, he's not the biggest or the fastest athlete out there. He's a hard worker and somebody that I know is respected in that locker room. And so, you know, he's not just going to give up his spot there, because there, you know, there's going to be lots of guys that I think are angling for more playing time, you know, those second year guys in particular. And I think, you know, in that linebacker room in particular, there's something to be said for Blake Baker and just the way that he coaches, the way that he develops and teaches, that he was able to get all those guys back into that room after their freshman seasons. I mean, you know, we live in an age of college football here where so many guys, after, you know, 1 or 2 years, if they're not seeing the field or not getting the kind of attention that they want with the program that they're at, you know, they move on. But, you know, LSU was able to get Jaden Breaker back. They were able to get, you know, Charles Ross and Keelan Moses and Zach Weeks and CJ Jim Coyley. All those guys returned after, you know, really not being featured players on the defense last year. And so I think the development process for all of them is going to be very interesting because, LSU does have that established, veteran leadership there at the top. How those other guys continue to develop and rotate in is going to be a very interesting thing to follow in the spring, because I do think there's an element to this to where, those guys, those second and third year players that maybe rise to the top, are guys that, you could hopefully convince to come back for a third year and be kind of the featured players in that linebacker room going into next season. So I know that's getting ahead of ourselves there, and you can never really project that too far out, but there's a lot of talent on here. There's a lot of potential. I'm curious to see kind of how that linebacker room continues to evolve, continues to develop. Tylan Singleton's another guy, another third-year player that will probably be pushing for that third linebacker spot, a rotational guy just to come in. And, he's somebody that's played some. He played a little bit last year, but didn't want to forget him either, because I do think he's going to be a part of that rotation here in the spring. And we'll see kind of how he's developed as well, and what kind of opportunities he can create for himself. So linebacker, I think, you're pretty established there with Weeks and Daughtery, and then just a litany of guys behind them that I think have an opportunity to play and will continue to push for playing time and compete with one another and develop and all that good stuff there with Blake Baker and Chris Kiffin kind of leading the charge in that linebacker room. That brings us over to cornerback here with Corey Raymond. Obviously the position group here that I think if you look at the last couple of years, just the amount of growth that has taken place in that room is just really impressive and a testament to the job that Corey has done since he's been back here. Spent a couple of years at Florida after Brian Kelly was initially hired, but has been back now. This is going to be his third year working with Blake Baker and in this defense, and has built this cornerback room up very, very well over the last couple of years. You've got established players. You've got a guy now in Monster Delane, who's been a one-year transfer, who has come in and developed and turned himself into a potential top 10 pick. So you've got that going for you when you talk about recruiting pitches. And, of course, the legacy that he's built over the last 15 years at LSU as the cornerbacks coach on and off has been really second to none. I think it really speaks for itself, just the job that he's done in developing that room and the kind of players that they consistently seem to find and develop and send to the next level. So from recruiting perspective, you're very, very well off. And then you've got some really good young players here that are now entering kind of the primes of their college careers, hopefully. I mean, guys like PJ Woodland, who's now in his third season, gave you a lot of really great play last year. He played mostly opposite of Delane. And then, you would bring in DJ Pickett as a rotational player. He also, Pickett also got a ton of experience last year at cornerback. They really kind of settled into that three-man rotation there of Delane, Woodland, and Pickett, really as the season kind of moved along. And I thought all those guys really handled themselves well for the most part. Woodland's a guy that's going to be a playmaker for you. I think he's somebody that it's just really got great instincts and is just a ball hawk and a guy that really fits the mold of the DBU really well. And so I'm expecting a nice jump from him this year, and certainly this spring he'll have an opportunity to be kind of a leader of that room. I think he's the oldest player in that room. He's also the most returning experienced player in that room. So he'll have, a voice in that locker room that'll be very fun to kind of hear and see how he's progressing in that development stage of his leadership ability. Pickett's a guy that, has a chance to be an all SEC, all American kind of player by the time he leaves here. 6'4", just long, athletic, really, really good coverage skills, really tight with, his instincts and ball skills as well. Somebody that had a couple interceptions there and throughout the course of his freshman year, had the one against Florida that really sticks out as kind of his big highlight welcome to Baton Rouge moment. But he's somebody that I think is going to slide in and be that guy that LSU asked to cover the opposing team's best guy. Like he's just got that. He's got that mentality. I think he's got that ability. I think probably some areas for him to grow, continue to grow as well. But he's somebody that I think has a lot of potential and is going to be a central figure to this defense having success in 2026 is, you know, him taking that next step in his development from year one to year two and becoming, you know, kind of that all-conference corner that I think many believe he can achieve, you know, this year or next year or whatever the case may be. But he's an extremely talented player and a guy that LSU hopes can be a leader of this defense and certainly in the secondary going into next year. So I think Woodland and Pickett are your two guys at corner. I think you know, when you look kind of further down the line of that room, you know, I'll be curious to see if LSU does kind of a similar thing where they hope they can find kind of a third corner to really kind of rotate in at that spot. I think, you know, Jakeem Jackson's a guy that makes a lot of sense for that role. He's going to be entering his fourth year of college now. He's been with, you know, Corey Raymond the entire time. Another long, athletic corner who, you know, I think has maybe had the injury bug his first couple seasons in college. But if he can stay healthy and continue to develop, I think he has an opportunity to earn some more playing time this year. He started to get a little bit more towards the end of the 2025 season when, you know, Delane had to miss a few games, I believe, at the end of the year, didn't play in the bowl game. So, you know, Jackson was asked to, you know, step up and play a little bit more. And I thought, you know, held himself up pretty well. So he's somebody that could be in that mix. Aiden Anding's now a second-year player in the program. Doesn't have a ton of experience under his belt, but he has, you know, a former four-star guy, a former top 150 player in the country, kind of a player there that I think could maybe make a move. And then, you know, Havon Finney is the freshman that LSU was really aggressive out of California and going to get in this last cycle. Really talented player, you know, reclassified. So he's probably a year, you know, he should be entering his senior year this year in high school. So maybe he's a little bit more of a development project for this season, but somebody that has lots of talent and potential as well. And could certainly, with the right, you know, if he, you know, ascends up the step chart pretty quickly, could get into the mix there as a rotational piece or just get in the games, maybe some of the bigger blowout games that LSU's in this year. So, you know, we'll see kind of what happens with that room. But I do think that right now the clear two front runners to start there are Woodland and Pickett, and just kind of how their development looks this year is going to be, I think, really, really important to the success of this defense and kind of what next levels maybe they can reach there. At the safety position, I think, you know, again, there's maybe a core group of about three players that you can look at and say, like, okay, this is going to be really interesting to see how they develop roles for these guys. You know, Tamarcus Cooley is a player that was pretty much an every down guy for LSU last year at safety. They love his tackling ability. They love when he's in the right positions to tackle. He's a really good tackler and somebody that doesn't let the play get behind him. There were a couple times last year where, you know, plays would get behind him and there would be some explosives in there. That happens, but that's certainly an area that he could continue to clean up. But somebody that I think LSU has a lot of trust in to be one of the leaders of that secondary as well. You know, Deshaun Spears, I think, is somebody that now entering his third year could be asked to increase his workload there at safety, whether it's in the deep part of the field or up closer to the line of scrimmage. And that's kind of where I wanted to take the conversation with safety, because I do think that there's going to be a couple of ways that they can handle this. I think you're going to have your two high safeties, of course, but you're also going to have a position to fill with, you know, Harold Perkins moving on from the star, moving on to the NFL. That star position is one that I think LSU is going to move away from or not call directly a star. You know, I think they're going to get back to more of a traditional nickel, whether it's a corner or a safety. I think they can be versatile and multiple with their looks, of course, but you know, that player that plays that position there is going to, I think, probably more than likely be one of the safeties or maybe a Jakeem Jackson or an Aiden Anding or somebody at corner. But, you know, the two guys or a couple of the guys that come to mind for playing time at that spot are Ty Benefield, the transfer from Boise State, a guy that has a lot of versatility as a player, has been in the, you know, in college now for several years, has well over 200 tackles and 19 tackles for loss and, you know, five or six interceptions and, you know, several sacks as well. I mean, he's a guy that can play all over the field. And I think Benefield is a guy that, LSU's going to be really excited to get into the program and start figuring out what exactly his role could look like. I think it could be a mixture of him playing in the deep part of the field, but also coming up close to the line of scrimmage and maybe playing that nickel role for LSU. So he's somebody that could play that. I think Spears is another candidate for that role as well. He's a big, long, physical safety that, you know, I think could get into the backfield and create some havoc whenever they ask him to. And then, you know, another player that I think is really interesting and that I think could make a run at one of these three positions or one of these three guys for serious playing time is Fahim Dulane, the Mansur's brother, who comes from Ohio State, spent his freshman year at Ohio State, played in 13 games, has some experience now under his belt as a second-year player, and he's one of those guys that's also, you know, 6'1", 6'2", 210 pounds, 215 pounds, going to be real physical guy, real physical safety kind of hybrid player that I think the LSU can be versatile with as well. So he's somebody that I think, you know, will be very interesting to watch in the spring, because if there's one player that I think could challenge in the secondary for major playing time that maybe we're not talking about as much going into the spring, it's going to be Dulane. I think he's got a lot of great instincts and a lot of experience now under his belt, having played for a full year in college. So very interested to see what he looks like and just kind of what this whole safety room and how it shakes out, because I do think that there are roles up for grabs. I think there is playing time up for grabs there. And we have kind of an idea of what that's going to look like. But, you know, those four there are really the ones to me that I think stand out and could be the most impactful here in the spring and get the most looks, I guess, with the first team, with how, you know, they want to shake things out there. So that pretty much wraps up all of our defensive talk here. Like I said, you know, LSU opens spring practice here on Tuesday, which is when most of you guys will probably be seeing this. So, you know, we appreciate all the watching, all the listening, and we'll certainly have all the updates for you guys here as spring evolves over the next month. This is going to be a really exciting time, really, excited to get out there and just cover this team on the field now for a little while, get a chance to catch up with some players and certainly with Coach Kiffin and some of the coordinators as well. So we'll have all those updates for you guys as the season moves along, but thank you so much for watching and listening to the Go 24/7 podcast, and we'll be back with you guys very shortly.